Okay, exactly. Today's topic, Yudal. So let's go back, I think, to the end of Yudam Beis. I think we need a little bit to just go through the flow there. So Gemara was talking about a brisa. First, we had a machlokus between Beis, Reish Lakish of Yochanan, about this din about a chalit le'yivamta, v'chazar v'kidsha. So a person first performed chalitza to the yivama, then he remarried her, which is an iser. So the din is, Reish Lakish says, he's not ain chai v'chalutza karis. There's no iser karis at that point, but the other brothers are chayv karis, and Rabbi Yochanan says, no, once one brother did chalitza, they removed karis from all of them. Now, granted, there's an iser for that person to remarry that chalutza, or marry that chalutza, and all the other brothers to marry the chalutza, but there is no karis anymore, according to Rabbi Yochanan. And again, Reish Lakish says, the karis is only removed from the brother who performed chalitza, but all the brothers, the karis remains in place, because Eish is ach. So then the Gemara brought on the bottom of Yudam Abayis, around 10 lines up, Eisive. So this is important to learn right now. Eisivei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan challenged Reish Lakish from the following brayse. It says, and there's a steer in the brayse here. Hacholitz liyavamto v'chazav kidsha umes. So the person performs chalitza, then he marries that chalutza, which is aser, and then he dies without children. Tzricha chalitza min ha'achim. The other brothers have to do chalitza because their brother died without any children. Even though he married a chalutza, it still requires chalitza. So that all makes sense, says Rabbi Yochanan Bishma Lididiv. According to me, this makes a ton of sense. De'amina chayav elavaninu. It's only chayav lav that the person who marries a chalutza only violates a lav. So the kedushin's chal, and then when he dies, there's a mitzvah of yibum chalitza, a chalitza at least. Hainu the tzricha chalitza menachem. That's why there's a need for chalitza. According to you, Reish Lakish, amai tzricha chalitza. Why do you need chalitza? According to you, there's an iser karis for a person to marry chalitza. No kedushin is chal. There's no requirement of chalitza if he dies. So what's the need for that? So Reish Lakish's response is, b'latameich, according to your very reasoning, ema seifa. If you look to the end of that brisa, this end of the brisa goes against what you were saying. What does the end of the brisa say? Omud echa min ha'achem v'kidsha. One of the brothers now marries the chalitza. Ein la alav klum. There's no need for anything at all. Why? Because nothing's chal. There's no kedushin chal when a brother marries a chalutza. So it says Reish Lakish, vi chayav elavaninu. If it's only chayv lav, amai ein la alav klum. Why is there no need for anything? Chayv elavin, the kedushin's chal, and the brother were to die, the other brothers would have to perform chalitza. Sounds like that when a brother marries chalitza, it's not chal because it's an iser karis like me, says Reish Lakish. So there's an internal steer within the brisa. Is it like Rabbi Yochanan? Or is like Reish Lakish? So the Gemara, first answer to the Gemara is Amar Rav Sheshes Seifa Asin Le Rabbi Akiva. The two different authors, Rabbi Akiva, who we know, Amar Ein Kedushin Tofsin Bechayav Lavin, that's a Chayav Lav, and Kedushin is in Chal, according to Rabbi Akiva, it actually produces a mamzer in that situation, and that's why there's no need for anything. But according to the Tanakhama, that's how we hold the Chayav Lavin is a, the Kedushin is Chal, and that's works within Rabbi Yochanan Shita. Well, the listener did write, so why doesn't it teach? It should have been clear. If it's two different opinions, listener should have said to the Seifa, Ledivre Rabbi Akiva, Ein La Lav Klum. That would have been very clear that they're two different authors. So Gemara says Kashya. So that's the end of the discussion. So now the Gemara and Daf Yud Alf Amnav goes into two other answers how to reconcile this steer in the Braisa. The Gemara says, Rav Ashi Savarla, Kareish Lakish, Umitarit La Kareibi Shimon. We're just presenting the answer that we're going to elaborate. And Ravina Savarla, Kareibi Yochanan, Umitarit Krabanan. What does that mean? So Rav Ashi gives his own answer. Savarla Kareish Lakish, that the Isser Kari still remains. Umitaritzla Rabbi Shimon, and he explains like Rabbi Shimon, which means the Sefer now makes a lot of sense because he holds like Reish Lakish that Ein La Lav Klum, there's Issa Karis, a brother tries marrying, it's not Chal, that's the Sefer, that's Reish Lakish. He now needs to explain the Reisha. What's Reisha? So he says, it goes as follows. Hacholech Liyavamto, V'chazer V'kitcha, a guy does Chalitza, then he marries that Chalutza, Tzricha Chalitza Menachem, he needs a chalitza from the other brothers. Why? If we're holding like Reish Lakish, it shouldn't be chal. Man achin, who are the brothers who required? Ha'achin ha'yilodin. They're going to be born in the future, not born yet. Meaning if they were alive, the brothers, and there was an Isser Eshach, and then there's a chalitza, chalitza enachami bi'asr. But no, after chalitza is performed, these brothers were born later on. Now, although Tanakama holds, we hold in the Mishnah that if it wasn't, they were not shalohaya ba'olama ba'osa yom. At that time, rather, b'chaya achiv, it would be aser. But Rabbi Shimon holds that actually our mutter, the achiv shalohaya ba'olama, would actually be mutter to marry that sister-in-law. So it holds like the Gemara says, Achin Hayilodin, that will be born later on, that will get born later on, Kiman and Kribbe Shimon who allow them to get married. So really, says Rav Ashi, this holds like, this Bryce holds like Reish Lakish, there's an Isser Karis, but the Isser Karis is only on the Achim who are alive at the same time as a brother who married that Chalitza, the Chalutza rather. But those who are born afterwards, they actually can perform Chalitza. So the Gemara says, so Amar Echa Minan Nolan, if one of the brothers who were already born in the past, those who were Bechai Olam in the same time, the Kidsha Ein Lalav Kum, because that's an Isser Karis though, because they were born beforehand, according to Reish Lakish. That's his understanding. So come on, that's Reish Lakish. Comes along now Ravina. Ravina Savralak Rabbi Yochan, he holds like Rabbi Yochanan that when one brother performs Chalitza, it removes Karis from all the brothers, from all the different people. Umitaritzla Aliba de Rabbanan, and he holds like Rabbanan. What does that mean? Hacholitz Liyavamto, Vichazer Vikitsha, Tzricha Chalitza. So he does Chalitza, he marries the Chalutza, and then he dies. You need Chalitza Mina Achim from the other brothers, man. Achen, which brothers? Achen Hanolden, those who were already born, because Rabbi Yochanan holds there's no Isser Karis. Even though the brother marries a Chalutza, there's an Isser Lav, Kedusha is Chal, and it would require Chalitza from the other brothers Hanolden. However, that's Kaman Rabbi Yochanan. But if the Sefer says, if it's a case of Amor Echad Mnayilodin, one of the brothers who were born afterwards, who were not in the same world, or they were in the world at the same time, the Kitcher gets married, Ein Lalavkum, that doesn't require anything, because that's an Isser, Kiman Krabana, who hold that if you were not alive at the same time, there is no connection to Zika, to the Ashes Achiv. And that's how they explain this price. Fine. Says the Gemara now. Another application, this Machlokis, Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Itmar. Haba Yivama, person performs Yibam, Uba Echam in Achen Al Tsarasa, and now one of the other brothers marries the co-wife, which is Aser. It's Aser to do that. So what's the status of that relationship of the brother and the Tsara? So Pliga Ba Rav Acha Ravina. There's a Machlokas Amarim. Chad Amar Bekaris, Chad Amar Be'asi. One says he violates Karis. The Karis still exists. The other says, no, he just violated an Asse, but there's no Karis anymore. And who does it hold like? The Gemara says, this hinges on Machlokas Reish Lakish of Yochanan, the man that damar bekaris, Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says only the brother performed Chalitza removed himself from Karis, but all the other brothers with all the other tsaros, that all the Karis still remains. So that opinion is like Reish Lakish. And man that damar be'aseh, that is only an aseh here, that's Rabbi Yochanan who holds there's no longer Karis. Once one brother performs the Chalitza, there's no Karis between any of the relationships between the brothers, between the tsaros. It's all removed. The only thing that exists is an aseh. What's the aseh? So if you look around Rashi around eight narrow lines up says Rashi ba'asei bais echad hu bona, he builds one house vein bona beis batim, but you can't build two houses, meaning only one relationship of one brother and one of the wives, not a second brother with a tzara. That's a violation. It's a lav haba michlal asei, which is not say we infer a lav from an asei. The pasuk reformulates it in a positive, as I said, an asei build one house, we infer a lav don't build two houses. A lav haba michlal asei is an asei. That's the violation according to Rabbi Yochanan. Fine. So now, up until now, we've discussed many of the different arayos and many of the different tsaros of these arayos. So now the Gemara wants to expand it to another example. What's that example, says the Gemara? Amar Yehuda Merava, tsaras sota asura tuma ksibe karayos. A tsara of asota would also be asur, and based on the possibility we call, it says the word nitma, or it says tuma by asota, and that is the same category as arayos. So look at Rashi to explain the case of asota. It's not a classic case of asota. A classic case of asota is where a husband warns, gives a kinoy, and there's a stira to the wife, and there's a suffix. We don't know exactly what happened, but there's enough evidence as reglan ladavar. This case, Rashi says, it's going to be clear from the Gemara later on. It's where we know for sure, bivados, there was nus that took place here. So look at Rashi two wide lines down. Rashi says, tsaras sota asura. Hayanasi beis nashim. A person is married to two wives. Vizin sahachas tachtav. One is mezana. Vyesh edim. They're edim that this clearly happened. Umesh below bottom. Now this husband dies and leaves over two wives. He, the tso sota, the tarasa, and the co-wife, both of them are p'turos af mina chalitza. There's no need for chalitza in this case. My time, what's the reason? Tuma ksibbe v'nistra v'hi nitma, the pasuk in Nasa says, and tuma is compared to arayos, as Rashi says in the next one, karayos d'chsiv al titamu b'chol eila. Don't contaminate yourself with any of these arayos. So the fact that sota is called tame, so that's called an erva, and therefore both she and the tsara would be asur or pater rather from chalitza. That's the another example of one of the arayos not mentioned in the Mishnah. So Gemara asks a question. Meisiva Rav Chista. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Biyasa, O Chalitzasa, Me'achav Sharishom, Poteris Tsarasos. We have to understand the context here to appreciate the statement of Rabbi Shimon. So let's say you have the following case. Look at Rashi. Rashi explains four wide lines down. Biyasol, Chalitzasa, v'chule. Haisha shahalach baila l'midas hayam. This is the end of the Masechta. Talks very much about the husband's going overseas. Who do you trust? That he died or didn't die? So he goes overseas somewhere. Ubav amrula, meis balecha, and two eidim. You can even trust an eid echad for that matter. You don't even need a kosher eid, even a woman, even eid mipi eid works. A lot of kulas to avoid agunas. But here's a case of two eidim. Two eidim come, amrula, meis balecha, your husband died, and she goes and gets married based on this eidis, because eidis is acceptable. Vecharkach, what comes out afterwards is babala. Her husband comes back. The original husband, he never died. The eidim were either lying or they just made a mistake. They misunderstood something. And she has to get divorced from both. Now, even though really she didn't do anything wrong because she had two eidim, Bezdin confirmed it. In the end of the day, still, she made a mistake because she should have inspected. She should have looked into it a little further. She jumped the gun a little too fast. So we make her have a knas. She has to get divorced from her original husband and the second husband as well. Mason, now let's say they die. One of these husbands die, and before she gets divorced, Achiv Shozeh, Achiv Shozeh, Choltin Vlom Yabmin. So the brothers of both the first husband and second husband have to perform Chalitza, because the Kedushin really is Chal. The first marriage, she got married legitimately, and then when Edim came, so she trusted the Edim, Bezdin accepted the Edis, so she was onus in that case. She did what she's supposed to do. She got married a second time, so both marriages somehow are good, so she has to get Chalitza from both parties. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Biyasa, O Chalitzasa, Me'achiv Sharishon Pateresi L'chachiles Sarasa. Rabbi Shimon says she can actually perform Yibum. It's not only Chalitza, but even Yibum would be permitted both for the person themselves, for the husband, and even for the Tzara as well. I mean, the brothers here, Mara says that the brothers either could perform Yibum with her or with the Tzara. Either one would work according to Rabbi Shimon. So that's the din. Why? Sharei ha'i kishar nashim l'gabe yavam. She's like any other woman with respect to this husband who died, or rather the yavam, the brother who's alive. The lo kantu rabbanan miyavam devade sharyala. She certainly is permitted to get married to the second husband. Shanusa ha'isa. She was anusa. Shama shame. She heard good edus. It was acceptable. Alma nivala tachas baila sharya tzarasa liyavam. Therefore, the tzara is permitted. So says Reb Shimon that the brothers could perform yibum whether with the woman herself or with any of the tzara. Viafilu rabban, even rabbanan lo pligi ela Reb Shimon ela bedida, only with respect to the woman herself who married two men. Only that woman does you say the brothers must perform chalitza. Aval agave tzarasa, the co-wife of this woman, that's modi, even rabbanan would agree. So the question becomes a little bit of a long-winded question, at least in Rashi here. Above we said Saras Sota is Asura or Pater from Chalitza. This Brisa says both Rabbi Shimon and even Chacham agree that the Saras Sota would actually be permitted. Because this woman's a Sota. She was Mizanu, the second husband. It's the second man here. So yet still her Saras Sota is Pater from Chalitza. That's against the statement of Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara says, how can you compare these two cases? Amr lecha Rav. Amin lecha ana Sota deraisa. I was talking about, Rav Yehuda's talking about a case of a Sota Daraisa, where that woman was Mizana, she was bemazed, she's Mizana, so then the Tzara is also, it's Pater from Chalitza. This case of the woman who had the Aedis and married a second man, that's not really Znus, she did what she's supposed to do, she was Onus, that's called a Sota Midrabanan. So it's a Sota Midrabanan, we're Mekel, that Tzara's Sota Midrabanan is permitted. But that Gabi Sota Deraisa, that's where we say that she's not permitted. So the two different cases. Gemara says that's a very obvious answer. Udekarile Maikarile. What was a Havmi to think you could ask such a question? One was clearly Sota Deraisa where there's Mamish Zus. The other one was Onus. It's only Sota Midrabanan. Gemara says Eina Hanami. But we still have the concept that the Gemara invokes. Kasavar called the Tikkun Rabbanan, Kain Deraisa Tikkun. That maybe we thought Tzaras Derabanan should be modeled exactly after Sota Deraisa, and the Tzaras Sota Midrabanan should be Pra'asr as well. Now the Gemara asks another question. Meisiv Rav Ashi, Nichnasa Imo L'Seser, V'Shasa Imo K'dei Tuma. A woman goes into a place of privacy with another man, whom already her husband had warned, gave her a kinoi, don't be in steer with this man, but she goes anyways, and she Shasa Imo K'dei Tuma, she's there long enough time to perform Bia. Asura Lebesa Vasu Lecha Betruma. She's asked to her husband, and she's asked to the Truma if she married, if she's an Ashish Kohen. If her husband dies, so this woman who's now a Sota, Choletis, the brother-in-laws, have to do Chalitza Velo Misavemes, but they can't do Yibum. So that's the Gemara. So we see this is against Rab, because Rab said above that both the Sota and the Tzara are pater from Chalitza. But here, we see that Sota requires Chalitza from the other brothers. And the Gemara answers, just like we made a distinction above between Sota Midiraisa and Sota Midirbanam, here's a bit of a difference. Both are Diraisas now. This is a Sota and a Diraisa level, but one's a Vadai Sota, one's a Suffolk Sota. That's what the Gemara answers. Amalecha Rav, Aminalecha Anasota Vadai, obviously at Sota Suffolk, meaning before the initial statement was a Sota Diraisa, when we know for sure with Edim, as Rashi said, that that's when the Saras Sota, the Sota and the Tzara Sota are both potter from Chalitza. Here, the Sota is a Suffolk case. We don't know. We know that there's Stira, and there's good Raglan in the Davar that something not good happened there, but since we don't know Bivados, it's only a Suffolk, therefore we require still a Chalitza, because perhaps they're still connected, there's still marriage, there's no arrivals yet, and therefore Chalitza is necessary in a case of Sota, Suffolk, even though both cases are Deraisa. So asks the Gemara now, three lines down on Yud Aleph and Beis, Umayishna Sota Vadai. What's the reason why Sota Vadai were saying that they're pater from Chalitza? Mishum dechzibay tuma. We call it tuma, which means it's one of the arayas. Arayas are pater from Chalitza. Sota Safek Nami Tuma Ksibay. The Sota Safek, which is the whole Parsha, Parsha's Naso, where the Sota is described over many psukim, that's the classic case of a Sota Safek, and that's called Tuma, Nitma, many times. It says like three times, I think, right? It's three times Tuma, or Nitma, Ksibay, Ditanya. So that therefore it's also called tuma. It should also be considered arayos and exempt from chalitza. The Tani, the Raisa says that Rabbi Yosi ben Kippar Omer Mishum Rebbe Lazar Hamachsir Grushaso. So we're going to go a bit of a tangent now. I think Hamachsir Grushaso Manasuin Asura Minal Erisin Mutera. So the din is that if a person is married and he gets divorced, he's allowed to remarry his wife. But if that wife gets married to someone else in between, and that gets divorced or widowed, he may not marry each other. That's called Isser Machsher Grushaso. So Rabbi Yossi says that's only if this ex-wife, the Grusha, marries someone else. But if she only gets engaged only through Erishin, then they actually can get remarried to the original husband. How do we know? Mishum Shenemar says in the Pasuk, Acharei Asher Hutama'a. Atu Hutama'a is a lashon of contamination, but the lashon of Bia says Rashi Nivla. Only if she got married through Bia to another man, which should be also to return to the original husband. That's according to the first opinion, Rabbi Yossi. But Chacham Omrim, Achazu, Viachazu Asura, whether or not it was only engagement, whether or not it was in Nisuin, both instances, they're going to be an Issa to marry the original husband. And Elamani Mekayim Achreya Hutama. Where do that pasuk of Hutama? That's not coming to say only when there's a Bia, only when there's Nisuin, because he says even Erisin's included. So what do you learn from that? Larabos Sota Shinistira. That even a Sota that was in Stira, that she was Stira, she too is going to be Usir as well. That you can't marry the first husband. So, fine. So my Nisra was Nisra mean. So hold on one second. So either way, we see here that the point is that Suffolk Sota is called Tamei. So that should be also one of the Arayos. Well, it says no. when Chacham talking about Sota in this case, he's not talking about Sota, a Suffolk Sota. He's talking about a Sota that's Vadai. What does it mean? My Nisra. The Nisra doesn't mean that they went in privacy, that we don't know what happened. Nisra is a nice way of saying of Nivola. There's Mamish Bia with Edim. He's talking about Sota that's Vadai. That's when we say that there's Pater Ptur from Chalitza. But my Karli Nisra, so why are they saying Nisra, making us so confused? We're not sure, does it mean real Nisra? Does it really mean Nivola? So why is it being so ambiguous? Because Lishna Baal Yanakit, because the Gemara wants to use a language that's proper. The Gemara tries to, the Pasuk tries to avoid such explicit language when it's possible. So Gemara says, fine, so that's the answer. So Enechanam Yisota Vadai is Pater from Chalitza. So Gemara then says, now Nivola Tuma Behediksibe, so we say the word Nivola is called Nivola Tuma explicitly. So Nistra Vihi Nitma. So how come the Pasuk then said, what's the question now? Again, Sota Vadai is called Nivola, because that's Tuma.
I think he said Nistra is Lishna Ma'alia, and it really means Nivola, but it says Nivola is. We already had.
So we don't need to include also Nistra as well, something that's already explicitly mentioned. Gemara says, "Lemekim ala balav." Einachami, you're right. We wanted to repeat it again to include there's a lav involved as well. The person is ba on his ba'ala lachash hazinsa, there's a lav involved in that as well. So we're just adding on top of that. The answer we're adding a lav on top of that as well. But in the end of the day, again, a sota vada is pata from chalitza, and a sota safek is chayiv in chalitza. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi ben Kifar, he's the one who said that Asher Hutama is referring to Machzik Rishaso only when there's Nisuin, but not when there's Erisin. So La Besota Lesle, he doesn't have a slav by Sota, Viafilu Zana, even if there's a Mamish Zanus, if the woman is Mazana, and then she goes back to her husband, there's also not a slav there either. My time up, Havaya v'ishish ksibbe, meaning he holds Isser Machshe Gushaso is only if she mamish gets married and then they get remarried to the original husband. But if there's only an Erison or there's even Zanus, even though there's Bia, that too won't be considered an Isser Machshe Gushaso because the Pasuk talks about Havaya and Ishish, it talks about marriage only when there's marriage. You should look at Rashi. Rashi writes, My time a Havaya v'ishish ksibbe, but also Anesra Labaila Yeshba Havaya. That the woman, his wife, only becomes asur to the husband if it's in the context of marriage to someone else. She goes and gets married. Hayasa is lashon havaya. She's married to another man. If she gets married to the second man, the ish, a man, a husband, and he dies, she can't go back to the original husband. Only mishenis is laacher. Ide kedushin veishus. Kagon de Garsha Harisha Girsha Rishonhu the Koi Kama below Yuchal is the first husband now subject to the law of Isser. About Mazana Tachlev, if she Mazana to somebody else, lo, there is no Isser of Machsir Gushas. Okay, fine. So now the Gemara says around 15 lines down as follows. Boy Mine Rav Yehuda me Rav Shesha. So he asks the following Shaila. Hamachsir Gushaso, after describing this Isser, Machsir Gushaso Mishinises Umeis Tirasa Mahu. So now a person marries his grushaso, an iser be'iser, and he dies, but there's also a co-wife. So we know by, if it's another one of the arayos, he marries, a daughter, so the daughter and the tzara are all parted from chalitza, that's the first mishnah. But now, machzer grushaso, what's the category of machzer grushaso? Reuven's married to his iser grushaso and has another co-wife. So now he dies without any children. So what would the status be of the tzara? So we said the machzer grushaso is parted from chalitza, with that we already saw above. But would the tzara also be pater from chalitza as well? That's the question. So Gemara says, Aliba, the Rabbi Yossi ben Kipar lo tibar lach. There was never shaila in his world. Kaven the da'ama Rabbi Yossi ben Kipar tuma b'machzer grushaso hu dichsive. So tzarasa kamosa. He felt that the word tuma was talking about mamish machzer grushaso. That was his, according to Chachamim, tuma is referring to sota. But according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kipar, now Tumo is referring to Machzer Grushaso. We said when there's a Nisuin, that's when there's an Isser. So now, do we really mamish call it Tumo? It's really one of the Arayos. And then the Tsaraso would be just like any one of the Arayos. It would be Pater Kemosa, like the Erev itself. Or, Imishum Dechsiv Be Toeva, he. Maybe, it says Toeva, he, in the Pasuk, in the end of Parsha Achimos, we call the Arayos Toeva. What's Toeva, he? He's coming to exclude something else. So maybe we want to say, Toeva, he, Rashi says, maybe the actual Erva is Asur, as opposed to the Tzara would be exempt from this. Maybe that's the drush or one we want to make, that only the Grush, Machta, Grushasa would be Asur, but not the Tzarasa. Tzarasa would be Chayv in Chalitza. Don't make such a drush up. Because the word he toeva, we have a different drasha of ain banet toavim. Only the woman herself is subject to toeva, but not the children. It doesn't pass on to the children somehow, so that doesn't exist. So that can't be a drasha available to exclude sarasa. So that's not a drasha we're entertaining at all. So really the shaila is, how much do we say machzer grushaso is like an erva or not like an erva? That's really the shaila in the world of Rabbi Yossi ben Kipa. But that wasn't really a shaila, because it seemed pashut for him that if it's mamish machzer grushaso is a tuma, it's one of the arayos, so then for sure the tzara would be a pater as well. The shaila was really in ki tibaylach aliba derabanan, in the world of rabbanim. The afagav damar rabbanan tuma besota hu dichsiv. The word tuma was not referring to machzer grushaso at all. It was referring to sota. Now the problem is that this word achrei hasher hu tama is really in the context of machzer grushaso. It's not in the context of sota. So the Gemara says, even though we're making a drasha to apply to Sot and Parshas Naso, in the end it's in where Parsha Kisaitse probably, I think. Let's get the pasuk exactly. Yes, Parsha Kisaitse looks like. That's, I think, where the Isser of Machzer Grushaso is. Ein mikra yotze midei pshuta. You can't take it out of its simple reading. The simple reading is, I'll read the whole pasuk. Lo yuchal bala harishon asher shalcha lashuv lakachta. You can't remarry a woman who you divorce. Yoslo isha achrei asher hutama, after she was matamid to somebody else, after she married someone else. So even though, according to Rabbanan, they're saying that's referring to really a case of sota, Pasha Pshad, you read the pasuk I just read, is referring to the Machshir Grush also. So don't take it out of its context, and even maybe Rabbanan would hold Isser Machshir Grush also is called Tame, is called one of the Arayos. Of Dilma, perhaps we say, Kaven the Ikar Yaker, once we uproot it from its Pasha Pshad, we won't apply Ein Mikra Yotze Midei Pshuto, and we go based on the Drasha, and the word Tuma we don't view it as being, as qualifying the Isser Machshir Grush also at all. So that's the question, how do we view this Drasha? Now, Ikadami, before we answer the question, there's another version. Aliba the Rabbanan, lo tibayalach, there was never a question in the world of Rabbanan. Kevin the Yisaki Yakir, no, they don't hold the Shaila. Once you uprooted the Pashup Shad, we apply it only to Sota, and we view it as if the word Tumah does not apply to Machsa Grushasa. Never was there a Shaila. They hold, certainly, the Tsarasa of a Machsa Grushasa would be Chayv and Chalitza. Kiti Barlach, when was there a Suffolk? Aliba the Rabbi Yosef ben Kippar. My. Afagav, Dam Rabbi Yosef ben Kippar, Tumah. Even though the word Tame is describing Machzer Grushaso, maybe we have Mia Tarachmana hi Toeva, even though the Pasuk calls it Toeva, I'm sorry, this Pasuk is Ki Soeva hi, so maybe only she is Toeva, she is a Erva, Ein Tarasa Toeva, but the Tarasa is not Toeva, and Chalitza would be required. Odilma, perhaps hi Toeva, Vein Banetov, and only she is, but the children are not considered Toevos, and it doesn't apply to Tarasa. But the tzaras itself would remain toiva. That's the shayla. So the two different ikadamis, how to view the suffix, if either the suffix to Rabbanim or the suffix in the world of Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur. How do we answer? So Amrle Tanisua, we have a brayse that really a mishnah. I think it teaches us as follows: Haisa achas sheirav achas psula. So this is a very, very important mishnah. Let's say a person, husband dies and he has two wives now, and they're two brothers, so they could each perform yibum. Now let's say one of them is Aser and one of them is Mutter. One's Kasha, one's Pasul. So the Bryce is about to tell us that if you're going to perform Yibum, you want to marry your sister-in-law, marry the one that's obviously Kasha to you. You can't marry the one that's Pasul to you. And if you want to perform Chalitza to one that's Pasul to you, but don't perform Chalitza to one that's Kasha. Why? Because the one that's Kasha, you perform Chalitza, you're making her now into Chalutzeter. The Gemara is going to explain what's going on now. So says the Gemara. So Haisa Achas Ksheir Achas Psula. So there's a brother-in-law who lost his brother. A brother who lost his brother. Brother died. Now there's two sister-in-laws. One's kashered him and one's pasled him. Im Haya Chalitz, if he decides to form Chalitza, he does not want to marry either one of them. He should be Chalitz lePsula. He should do Chalitza to the one who's pasled him. Vim Haya Meyavim, if he decides to do Yibam, he should be Meyavim leKsheir, the one who's obviously kashered him. He can't do Yibam the one who's pasled him. So my Ksheir, my Psula. How do you define these terms? Who's a Ksheir? Who's a Psula? Elim, if you're going to tell me, Ksheira, Ksheila Amma, someone who's kasher to the rest of the world, and Psula, one who's Psula Liamma, one who's Pasul to the rest of the world, what does that even mean? So Rashi explains that Psula Amma is an example of a Grusha, or a Chalutza, that can't marry a Kohen. So I'm not a Kohen, let's say, that person's a Chalutza, so the din is that she's Pasul to other people. To other people, that's what it means. Even though there's no nafkamina to me, I'm not a Kohen, I'm a Yisrael, in the end of the day, so Pasul to everyone else. So if that's the case, we're defining her Ksheira and Psula based on how other people, the relationship to other people in the world, says the Gemara, again, Ksheira la'alma, Psula, Psula la'alma, Kemen dilididei, Chaza, if it's the Yavim himself, both are roy to them, my nafkalamina, who cares what their relationship is to the other people in the world? We just care about the relationship to the Yavim himself. So that can't be Psula la'alma and Ksheira la'alma. El Alav, it must not be Ksheira, Ksheira Le, Upsula, Psula Le, where it's kasher to him, or it's pasul to him. That's what we care about, his relationship with them. And what's the case? My new, it must be a Machsir Grushasa. It must be his Isser Machsir Grushasa. One was his wife, his ex-wife, that remarried his brother, seemingly. The Katani, it says, Imhaya Miyabim, Miyabim Lekshe, he should perform Yibam to the one who Ksheira. In other words, that the two wives, one of the wives, the sister-in-law, is his Machsir Grushasa. The other one is called Tsaras Machsir Grushasa. Says the Gemara, it's mutter to do Yibam to the one who's Ksheira to him, which is the Tsara of the Machsir Grushasa. So that answers our question. The question above was, what's the status of Machsir Grushasa, Mace, Tsarasa Mahu? Answers the Gemara, that's permitted. Yibam is allowed to the Tsaras of a Machsir Grushasa. So Gemara says, love.
This Machsir Grushasa is really only a potential Machsir Grushasa. Nobody's done anything wrong yet.
Exactly. The Isser exists. He hasn't done anything yet.
It would be over Olav if he did Yibum.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
We're still considering the other woman a tsara of his potential machzor.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. She still has that right now already. The chalos machzor grusha also exists even if they haven't remarried yet.
Nobody's done any Isser
yet. Exactly. Right. So now the Gemara says, "Lo, not true. That those are not the correct terms. Li olam kshera kshela alma upsula psula alma." We're not talking about his relationship to the two sisters, to the two wives. We're talking about the relationship to the world around us. So ask the Gemara before, who cares who these people are to the rest of the world? Okay, she's a chalutza, and apostle to the Kohen, but I'm a Yisrael, I'm not a Kohen. Who cares what her relationship is to other people in the world? Gemara says, I'll tell you why. With the Kamras, Kevin Dilidei Chazia, my nafkamina, that which we said, but if he's right to her, who cares her relationship to the other people in the world? Mishum de Rav Yosef, Dam Rav Yosef, Kan Shana Rebbe, this is what Rebbe taught us, Lo Yishvach Adam, Meboro, Vachem Tzichim Lehem. If you're, again, the mashal is that if I'm drawing up water, I don't need water anymore, why spill it out? Give it to the next guy to use. If I'm at a restaurant, I get extra french fries I'm done with, give it to the guy to eat. Don't throw it in the garbage, let someone else use it. So even though for me, there's no nafkamina whether she's a chalutza or not a chalutza, I'm a Yisrael, but by me making her chalutza, she's now possible to Kohanim. So why would I now limit her circle of who she can marry? That would be incorrect to do so. So that's what it's referring to, and nothing at all to do with a machzor grushaso, a tars machzor grushaso, then don't bring any raias to our suffix above. So now the Gemara says last three narrow lines of the page here. Tashma. Hamachzor grushaso mishenises hi v'tarasa. So what's going on? A little bit confusing here. A person is machzor grushaso. So once she gets married, she and the tzara choletzes. You can do choletzes both with she and the tzara, meaning a person can't do chalitza with the machzor grushaso, and you can't do it with the tzara. But now the braisa says here, you could do chalitza with both her, your own machzor grushaso, or with tzara. Mar says, "He v'tzarasa sakadaitach." You thought you could do chalitza with your own machzor grushaso and the tzara? That doesn't make any sense. Ella, ema, ohi, o tzarasa. So either her or the tzarasa. So what does that even mean? Her or the tzarasa? So we're trying to say as follows that we're bringing a right here that one can perform yibum with tzaras machzor grushaso. That would be allowed. Mar says, "No." How could that be? Vlav trute mekimitarsa. Didn't we already say there's certainly something problem? There's a problem here in the Brisa. The Brisa said you could do chalitza with both her and the tzara. We never do two chalitzas, either one or the other. So the fact that we said it doesn't mean her and the tzara, it means either her, the machzor grushaso, or the tzara. But that already gave us a little tip that there's something wrong in the Brisa. The Brisa that's already not so, it's not part of the Masara because there's a mistake here. So once we fixed one mistake, maybe there's another mistake. In other words, Taratachi. Maybe we're not proving from here that only Chalit is allowed. Maybe even Yibum would be allowed as well to the Tzara. In other words, he Chalites, with regards to Machzor Grushaso, one does Chalitza. With regards to Tzarasa, you have the option, O Chalites, O Misyavemes. So there's no Raya from here that the Tzaras Machzor Grushaso only chalitz is allowed. Perhaps you could reinterpret it to say that even yibum would be allowed as well. Let's do a few more lines. We'll finish with this. The Gemara says as follows: Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan by hamachzor grushaso mishenises tzaras mahu. So this is the question we asked above. He asked this question too. What is machzor grushaso? What's the status of the tzara? Could yibum be performed to the tzara? The Gemara says that Amar Le Rabbi Yami v'tibarlach higufa. Why not ask the question with regards to the machzor grushaso herself? The Gemara says, "He gufa lo kamebar." That was never Shaila, she herself. Damrin and Kalvachomer, we have the following Kalvachomer. It's a little bit tricky here. B'mutter lo asura, b'asir la lo koshigen. If she who's mutter, what's who's mutter to her? Says Rashi, six lines up. B'mutter lo baila ze shemes neser tchila kishenitzes l'sheni. Her original husband, and she gets married to someone else in between. She gets divorced. Now her original husband is Asatur. The Chazar Rishon Vechsira Be'Isser. Now she gets remarried to the first husband, which is Asur, Ulmach Hermes, and he dies the next day. So that which is Asur to her initially, and we're saying again, Kavachomer, B'Mutterla Asur, if he was one who was Mutter initially, is Asur now, B'Asurla Kol Shekein. What's Asurla? Says Rashi, B'Asurla Kigon Yivamala Kol Shekein. So again, the husband was once mutter to her, and we're saying now after the marriage it's asur. Now her brother-in-law, who is always asr to her, right? Her after her husband dies, now her first husband who she remarried dies, her brother-in-law who is always asr to her, so certainly that should be asr now as well. In other words, that she shouldn't get married to that brother. So that's why we talk about her herself. So that's why it wasn't a shayla. Of course, she's asr to do for the brother-in-law, the yavam, to marry the machzik gushasa. Because again, machzik gushasa asr to her actual husband who was once mutter to her. Certainly, she's asr to the brother-in-law. So that was never a shayla. So kikim barley, when we asked the shayla was terasa. What about the co-wife of the machzik gushasa? Can the yavam, the brother-in-law, although he can't marry the sister-in-law who's machzik gushasa, maybe he can marry the yibam with the taras machzik gushasa? So my, what's the shayla? Mi alam kavachomer. Do we say the kavachomer is so strong lemidchei tzara? In other words, just like the kavachomer knocks off the yavam from doing yibam with the actual machzik gushasa, is it so strong to also knock off the tzara? Is that how powerful the kavachomer is? It doesn't say how the mechanism works, but maybe somehow they get lumped together. Although, or maybe the kavachomer only attacks the actual machzik gushasa, but the tzara's machzik gushasa is permitted to the yavam, and that would be allowed. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Masi Hachi, he taught as follows. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba bar Rabbi Yochanan hamachzer gushaso mishinisays maha. What's the din? Amalei Rabbi Yami v'tibar tzarasa. So why are you asking a question about the machzer gushaso herself? Why not ask the shayla about the tzarasa? Say tzarasa lo kumi bar. That was never a shayla about the tzarasa. Dilo alim kavachomer lemidchei tzar. He felt it was pashit that the kavachomer, although it was able to knock out the machzer gushaso, it did not knock out the tzara, and the tzara is certainly allowed to the yavam to perform yibam. Ella, the shayla was, according to his understanding, was ki kimi barle was he gufa. Maybe the yavam can even marry the iser machzer gushaso, do yibam with her. Why? So do we say mi alam kavachomer b'makom mitzvah? Is the kavachomer so strong, even in the case of a mitzvah of yibam, we still say he can't marry the machzer gushaso? Or lo, maybe not. In general, you're right, he shouldn't be able to marry the machzer gushaso, the yavam. But since it's a mitzvah of yibam, maybe the mitzvah of yibam could override the kavachomer. So that was a shayla in the world of Rabbi Yochanan. So we're not going to answer the question today, but we'll do that, I guess, on our own tomorrow on Shabbos. So should we quickly recap what we said today? We'll do really, really quickly right now. We spoke about Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, about whether one brother does Chalitza, his Karis completely removed, or Reish Lakish is only for that brother's Karis removed, but Karis exists around them. So we had this Brisa, a stira of who authored the Reisha, who authored the Seifa. The first answer was Rabbi Kiva was the author of the Seifa. Then we had Machlokas, Rabbi Ashi, and Ravina, that one interpreted like Rabbi Yochanan and like Rabbanan, one said like Rabbi Shimon, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Shimon, about the brother who was born later on, those two different Pshatim. Then Machlokas about Haba Yavama, and the brother was Ba on the Tzara, whether that's an Isser Karis like Reish Lakish or an Isser Asa like Rabbi Yochanan. Then we had Tzara Sota Asura, that Tumas Ksibbe, so it's one of the Rios, the Tzara is also Asur. And then we said that's only Safek Deraisa, but Safek Derabanan, the Tzara Safek Derabanan would be, a Sota Derabanan would be permitted. And we also said it's only talking about Safek, rather, Sota Vada Mediraisa is the Tzara Asur. But a Tzara of a Sota Deraisa, that's only a Safek, there we said the actual, that would be permitted. Then we had a machlokas between Rabbi Yosef Kifar and Chachamim, whether the word Tuma was referring to a case of Sota, even though it's in the context of Machzer Gushaso, or no, it was referring to Machzer Gushaso only when there was Nisuin, but Erisin would be allowed, Machzer Gushaso wouldn't be awesome. So that's a machlokas. Does Tuma refer to Machzer Gushaso, or does it refer to a case of Sota? So we said from that case, Machzer Gushaso, do we say that Tsarasa is also included in the same circle as Machzer Gushaso? And we said dependent perhaps either on whether we view the word Toeva he as he ve'ein bana, or may Toeva he ve'ein Tsarasa, or how the din of Ein Mikav Yotzim Midei Pshuta works versus being Me'akir, the Pshat of the Pasuk. We try to bring some rise of Chalutza, Psula versus Ksheira, Ksheira La'alma, Psula Alma, or perhaps Lididati himself. And then we had some brides to try and prove other points here, and then that final topic we went through at the end, the Machzer Gushaso, and the Tsarasa, the topic about the Kavachomer. And we'll stop here. Freilichen Shushan Purim. Okay?